Hello, my name is Dr. Paul Wheatley Price. I'm a medical oncologist at the Ottawa Hospital and immediate past president of Lung Cancer Canada. Welcome to our podcast series called Lung Cancer Voices. In this series, I'll be interviewing patients, caregivers, healthcare professionals, and some of the leading lung cancer researchers in the country and indeed in the world to highlight important and relevant issues facing those affected by lung cancer. Enjoy the podcast.
Welcome to this episode of Lung Cancer Voices, our podcast from Lung Cancer Canada. And I'm joined today by Dr. Gillian Tsai and Dr. Amir Safavi. They are both at the University Health Network or Princess Margaret Cancer Center in Toronto, and they're both radiation oncologists. And we don't often have radiation oncologists on the pod, so I'm really excited to hear about this one and what we're going to learn about some new techniques and what's been going on. So just by way of introduction, Dr. Safavi, who reached out to me, a while ago and offered his services to Lung Cancer Canada and to the pod. So Amir is a senior resident in the University of Toronto Radiation Oncology Residency Program. He's just completed a term as chief resident there. He's got an interest in lung cancer and oligometastasis, which we'll define for you in a minute, and we're going to be talking about today. And he will be graduating from that program in the summer and heading off to New York to do an advanced research fellowship at Memorial Sloan Kettering Cancer Center, which is one of the more famous cancer centers in the world, I guess. Coming the other way from New York to Toronto, Dr. Gillian Tsai is an associate professor of radiation oncology at University of Toronto, and she's at Princess Margaret Cancer Center, where she's the site leader of PROP. PROP is the Alan and Ruth Kerbel Palliative Radiotherapy and Oligometastasis Program. So really an expert in these areas. So welcome, Dr. Tsai, to the podcast. Welcome, Dr. Safavi.
Thanks for having us.
What we're going to do is I'll just reference people back if they want to go back. There was a podcast probably 3 or 4 years ago that we did with Dr. David Palmer from London, Ontario, which was a sort of general overview about radiotherapy. So people could go back and reference that. But what we're going to do is we'll start off with some general themes about radiation, and then we're going to build into this area, which is really topical and relevant and progressive, of this area of oligometastases and stereotactic body radiotherapy, and terms that we will define and learn as we go through. So Dr. Safavi, Amir, I'm going to come to you first, and we'll just put in a basement level here. Simplistically, what is radiotherapy?
Sure. It's funny that you say basement level, because radiation therapy is often delivered in the basement. So radiation therapy is one of our main pillars of cancer treatment. Often we think of these treatments in terms of, are they local treatments or are they treatments that work all across the body? So in terms of local treatments, we have surgery, where we often use a scalpel to remove problematic tumor. But we also have radiation therapy. And instead of using an invasive technique like a scalpel, we use high energy x-rays to target a tumor and to ideally stop it from growing, maybe even shrink it away. And so this is a very important treatment that we use commonly in lung cancer. It can be used to cure lung cancers, whether these are very small stage one tumors, or to be used to try to achieve cure in more locally advanced settings with large tumors and bigger areas of treatment. But we can also use radiation to really maximize quality of life and to improve symptoms. And so this has been a long-term use of radiation as well to relieve pain, difficulty with breathing, coughing. There's an emerging area that Dr. Tsai will touch on a bit later as well, which is this concept of oligometastasis, where if you have just a few spots, maybe radiation can be used to improve your time without further progression or to keep you on a drug. And so we'll get into that a bit later.
Right. Great. Now, radiotherapy has been around a long time. Huh? Marie Curie,
more than
100 years ago. You've been around as a specialty longer than my specialty of medical oncology has been around. When you say like it's high energy x-ray, just so simplistically, what pragmatically, what would that look like? Many people listening may have had radiotherapy or have taken to radiotherapy appointments, but where do people go? You mentioned the basement there.
Yes. So essentially, when you have an x-ray taken or a CT scan, those x-ray energies are being used to take a picture. And they're at a certain level that's safe to take that picture with very, very little dose to the rest of the body. With radiotherapy, we take that dial and we crank it up and we use much higher energies of radiation. But the difference is that we really, with our technology nowadays, can sculpt and focus that radiation on a problem spot like a tumor. And you know, you mentioned we've had radiation since the time of Marie Curie, but our technology has drastically improved since then. So techniques are now much safer. There's far less radiation dose that is emitted to nearby tissues or the rest of the body. And then we can really crank up the dose within the tumor to try to control the disease as well as we can, improve symptoms as well as we can. In terms of just practical workflows, so you know, our patients will come and they will lie on their back. A machine often will move around them from about a meter away to deliver this radiation. So there isn't anything poking or prodding them. They don't really feel anything during treatment. And this sophisticated computer designs plan will deliver that radiation conformally, so very tightly to the tumor with good coverage, so to cover all of the tumor.
What does that mean? Sorry, conformally.
Yeah, so very tightly to the tumor, making sure that the doses that are needed to kill the tumor are as tightly prescribed to the tumor. So they're just hugging the tumor and aren't splashing around anywhere around it to try to optimize cure or control while minimizing side effects.
You said sculpting. That was the word you used, or sculpture.
Yes.
Sculpting. My family would tell you that I'm really not very artistic. My efforts at drawing or painting, let alone sculpture, would be utterly disastrous. But when I think of sculpture, I'm thinking of like curved lines and shapes. But in my mind, an X-ray beam goes in a straight line.
Yeah, that's
so
a great...
How do you do that?
So back in the day when we had less sophisticated technology, it would almost be like shining a flashlight through the patient. And so that light kind of goes everywhere. And so the dose would go everywhere. But now we're able to give the radiation from so many different angles as the machine moves around the patient that we're able to combine all those mini little flashlight sources together to really, quote unquote, sculpt or bend those radiation doses right along the tumor and not have that dose splash around elsewhere. So sculpt it almost like clay. Sculpt that dose right around the tumor.
Right. Okay. I'm not so knowledgeable about physics and things, but you and Dr. Tsai, I'm sure, are very knowledgeable about physics. For those who are interested and who are listening, gamma rays, alpha particles, beta particles, protons, what is the radiation?
Yeah, so in Canada, the workhorse is X-ray-based radiation. So they're photons or light energy that we use. There is a machine called a proton therapy machine, which we don't have in Canada yet. Hopefully in the next 5 to 10 years, we'll have a device. And that's a device that's used elsewhere in the world, like at Memorial Sloan Kettering. And in lung cancer, it may have some role, but it's, you know, an emerging technique. So the workhorse for most patients in Canada is going to be photons, X-rays.
Okay. So maybe we'll come back to a future podcast, Amir. I'll invite you back on when we have proton machines then in Canada. Okay, great. So that's Radiotherapy 101. Dr. Tsai, you know, you run this program, the Alan and Ruth Kerbel Palliative Radiotherapy and Oligometastasis Program. Maybe you could, well, could you tell us a bit about the program and then specifically explain to people listening, what does oligometastasis mean?
Sure. Thank you. So this is a great question because the term palliative radiotherapy means different things to different people. And for some patients, it means it sort of like has a very negative connotation about end of life, maybe, but this is a different, completely different situation when we refer to palliative radiotherapy or oligometastasis, meaning that traditionally patients with metastatic cancers are traditionally treated with drug therapy, you know, chemo therapy, immunotherapy, or targeted therapy. However, the tide has changed that even for patients with stage 4 disease, radiation can be used in many different ways, not only to alleviate symptoms or we call palliating pains, But we do have the advanced technology, such as Dr. Safavi mentioned, the stereotactic radiotherapy that is very focused and targeted, and that can actually be used in conjunction with the patient's drug therapy to improve outcomes. So the program is really to advocate for having different options and working together to improve the patient's well-being.
Okay. And that stereotactic radiotherapy that you mentioned, that's akin to what Amir was describing in this very sculpted, high energy, just to the tumor, without the splash effect. That's
That is correct.
and sometimes people will come to me in my clinic and they'll say, in medical oncology, and they'll say, can I have that CyberKnife? Now, CyberKnife is the same as stereotactic radiotherapy. It seems to come under different names. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. So CyberKnife is just a trade name
Okay.
from a company manufacturing a specific radiation machine. But basically, it's delivering stereotactic, highly focused radiation in a high dose and very conformed to the tumor shape.
I've heard it called saber as well, which brings me images of a slashing sword. But is saber gone out of practice now as a term?
It's the same name. So SABR or SBRT or stereotactic radiotherapy, they all refer to the same technology, same
Okay.
thing.
Now, I kind of alluded to the fact that I like history, and I've mentioned that in this podcast probably more times than people are probably bored of me telling me that. But Greek, my study of ancient Greece is very amateur, but kind of enthusiastic. Oligo is Greek, I believe. Oligometastasis, and we make them talk about oligoprogression. Those terms have really come into the cancer lexicon in the last, what, decade maybe? How do you define oligometastases and oligoprogression?
Sure. So oligo means just a few, right? So the term oligometastasis really simply just means that although the patient may have stage four disease, but the metastases only occur in very few sites of the body. So it's not a widespread disease. There are, different definitions, but basically just few sites that are involved in metastases. So that's what we called oligometastases.
Right.
And traditionally, people think that when patients have stage four disease, maybe it's not very curable, but there has been studies and observations finding that for patients with only a few sites of metastases, if we can get rid of those metastatic disease, then the patients might be able to achieve a very long-term disease remission.
Right. And do so just with the radiotherapy, or in conjunction with drug treatment, or being able to delay drug treatment, or a bit of both, or is it an individual case by case sort of
So it's more
situation?
like a case-by-case scenario, but the patients can get any form of local therapy, meaning that just getting rid of the tumor either by stereotactic radiotherapy or by even surgery in conjunction with drug treatment afterwards or beforehand. So these are different combinations to
Okay.
treat patients with oligometastases.
Okay, so I think we're at this point now. We understand oligometastases, just a few, not widespread dissemination or spread of the cancer, but just a few spots. And if I understand you correctly, then radiotherapy with this very, with SBRT, or I'm going to go with Amir and say this sculpted radiotherapy because it sounds nicer, can helps at least some people get much longer disease control. So that's what you do in your program then, and you've been developing a research program which I wanted to ask you about, because we're always interested in what's coming next and the sort of cutting edge. You've been doing, is it a program or a research protocol called CURB, like kick
Yes.
something to the curb?
Yes. So the CURB trial actually took the concept of oligometastases further. So there are some patients who have more than a few metastatic sites of disease. So these patients are typically started on chemotherapy, targeted therapy, or immunotherapy. So in many patients, the disease would have been controlled initially by drug therapy. However, over time, there may be a few sites of disease, metastatic sites, that develop resistance and start to grow. So it's not a widespread growth, but only a few sites that are growing. And that's what we call the oligo progression.
Okay. So maybe we could just pause there and just make sure we've got this clear. So oligometastases that you were talking about earlier, Dr. Tsai, that's where somebody may have stage four lung cancer, but the places that the cancer has spread to are very few. Oligo progression is different. The cancer might be widespread, but well controlled with drug treatment, and then just starts to grow, not everywhere, but just in a few spots.
That
That's
is correct.
how you define the difference, right?
Yes,
Okay.
that's correct. So in this situation, the most common scenario would be that the patient would need to sw be switched to a different drug or therapy. However, there's certainly some preference for patients to stay on the current therapy because maybe it's very tolerable, and maybe the current therapy is controlling the majority of sites of disease with only selected areas of progression. So the CURB trial is called consolidative use of radiotherapy to block oligo progression. It was really designed to answer this question, whether we could use stereotactic radiotherapy to eradicate those few growing sites so that the patients can stay on the current well-tolerated drug therapy for much longer. So this formed our hypothesis for the CURB trial, which was recently published in The Lancet.
And well, for people who don't know, The Lancet is the New York or Paris or London of if they're the global cities, that's a global journal, top drawer journal. So congratulations to start with. Now, to get into The Lancet, that must mean that you had some pretty good findings. What were the results then? Did
Yes.
you kick it to the curb? That's very cheesy.
We were able to curb the further growth of the lung cancer tumors. So essentially, the study randomly allocated patients with oligo progressive non-small cell lung cancer to either standard of care, which may be switching to a different drug therapy, or another group of patients would be assigned to given stereotactic radiotherapy to selectively kill these growing sites, and those patients would be continuing the same drug therapy. So the study revealed that patients who were on the stereotactic radiotherapy group were able to achieve longer disease control, actually by fourfolds. They were able to be continuing on their current systemic therapy for 10 months on average, compared to the other group, which was 2.2 months.
Okay.
So
Well, it's
that
getting up
was
to a
a
year. Yeah.
big benefit of keeping them on the same effective drug otherwise.
Okay. I must apologize. My phone rang there in the middle of your answer. I apologize for that. That's a dramatic improvement from this approach. Can I ask you, though, we're talking about sort of joking about kicking it to the curb. And on the kicking analogy, are you just kicking the can down the road a bit here? Are you making a long-term difference to people's lives with stage four lung cancer, or is this just a sort of temporary delay and then the cancer ultimately is going to do what it was always going to do? Or do you think this is really altering the whole future trajectory of people's lives?
This is a great question. So the initial CURB study was only designed to look at how much longer the patient's disease could be controlled while on the same drug. So the study was rather a shorter term study, and that
Okay.
showed benefit. But
Right.
we are doing another clinical trial with the Canadian Cancer Trialists Group to actually further expand it to see whether we can really improved overall survival by prolonging the patient's time on the current drug longer.
For those listening, the CCTG or Canadian Cancer Trials Group is our big national we call it a cooperative group, academic centers where we run trials as a nation. Dr. Tsai, does the CCTG study that you're talking about, does that have a catchy name like CURB2 or?
That's called CURB2.
It is called CURB2?
It is.
So I guess it's right. Is that study opening? Is that available to people now, or is
it's going to open in the next few months, very
in
soon.
In the next few months, okay. Mm-hmm. We're recording this about a week before Christmas. 18th of December is when we're recording this. We'll probably release this probably January, February time. So this study, I guess, will be opening pretty soon. Great, okay, so we've been chatting for a while. I've got one more question for each of you, and then I think that's been a terrific education for me and hopefully for people listening about radiation and stereotactic radiation and oligoprogression and where the future science is going. Amir, I'm going to come back to you first. You're heading off to New York, and Canada will be collectively holding its breath and hoping that you come back and bring what you learn back to Canada as, you know, the next generation of cancer leaders. What are you going to be doing in New York?
Yeah, I'm looking forward to heading to New York to get some additional skills and hopefully bring that back to our country. So in New York and Memorial Sloan Kettering, I'll be working with a couple groups. One group of interest certainly is the lung cancer group there, which is a very strong group of radiation oncologists, surgeons, and medical oncologists. We're pretty fortunate in Canada to already have, you know, pretty state-of-the-art radiation, but it's always good to go to another center, see some of the new treatment approaches they have, get some experience with proton therapy, which, as I mentioned before, we don't have in Canada yet, and see how we can maybe bring that back. And then as well, I'll be working in the oligometastasis space, as we've been talking about, and some head and neck cancer.
Good luck with that, and I hope you get some time off to go and watch a Yankees game or the Islanders. I went to a New York Islanders game, actually, with Winky. Winky and I went to a New York Islanders game for Lung Cancer Canada back in, nearly a year ago. Winky is a staff member at Lung Cancer Canada, and we took a team. Mike Bossy was all-time great Canadian hockey player. He sadly passed away from lung cancer in 2022. And the New York Islanders had a big fundraiser in his honor, with the funds coming to support patients and family members in Canada with lung cancer. So we were at an Islanders game. So maybe you'll get out to an Islanders game when you're there.
Looking forward.
And Dr. Tsai, just to wrap up, you've talked about oligoprogression and stereotactic radiotherapy and the CURB studies and CURB2. Where do you see, if I could ask you to kind of get out your crystal ball, where do you think or where do you hope that radiotherapy will next make the big advance for specifically for lung cancer patients? Is it this oligoprogression? Is it protons? Is it something that we haven't talked about that we'll have to get you back for another podcast about?
Thank you. So a couple of things. I'm hoping that all of the patients listening to this podcast will keep a curious mind and inquire about different or newer treatment options if they're available. And in terms of radiation, we are really looking at a more integrated approach with our medical oncology and surgical oncology colleagues so that we work together to provide patients with better treatment options. One more option down the road will be a personalized approach based on the genetics markers of the patient's tumor and how they respond to drug and radiation combined so that we can tailor the treatment better for each individual patient.
Right. That's fascinating. Yeah. So I sometimes sort of we fairly naively think that, the biology of the cancer, we use that to pick which drug. But of course, radiotherapy makes common sense that it's going to work some better on some subtypes than others. And learning that is going to be really fascinating and important, of course. Well, listen, Dr. Savavi, Dr. Tsai, thank you so much for giving up your time for the Lung Cancer Voices podcast. Really appreciate your expertise and your insight and your research and this collaboration between Memorial Sloan Kettering and Princess Margaret Cancer Center. And that's sounds like a good combination of world-renowned centers to educate us. So Thank you so much. And to people listening, as ever, if you've heard something on this podcast that is relevant to you or your lung cancer story, please do reach out to your healthcare team or contact us at lungcancercanada.ca. And with that, we're recording this, as I said, just in sort of second half of December. So by the time you listen to this, I hope you all had a happy holidays and started a good 2024 and come back for the next podcast.
Thanks to our producer, Ryan Mullen. Please send us your feedback, like and follow us on Facebook at LungCan, on Twitter at LungCancer_Can, and on Instagram at LungCancerCanada. For more information about lung cancer or to donate, volunteer or share your story, visit our webpage at LungCancerCanada.ca.